This is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Hey, good morning. It's Chris Plunkett, your host, Disaster Recovery Hour. It is Sunday. It is taped. I am calling in from Tennessee, second week in a row, and it's the I'm down here in training and learning some extra things that will be beneficial to to you guys, to the listeners, and it's pretty amazing because I've been in the business roughly about 20 years, and I thought I knew a lot of things. Now, I know about customer service and understanding the clientele base and so on and so forth, but the technicality part of it, it's really evolved to a pretty much a science. And any of you people thinking about, calling, Joe below down the block to do work, not recommended. What I've learned in the last couple of weeks is it's pretty amazing. And so when I get back home, which will be next week, next week's show should we should be pretty close to on time. This is this is going to be 3 days in advance. But is it right? This is radio and television. They do some taping and so on and so forth. But I will tell you this: what in the last couple of weeks, what I've experienced, which that there's three natural disasters I've never experienced. I just met the criteria for two of those, and that was a tornado in Tennessee, and the other one was an earthquake. And the earthquake happened on the only day that we had off from school, and I thought it was people slamming doors, but actually it wasn't. So in the middle states, here in the United States, down the Appalachians and whatnot, it's a little less traumatic than it would be, out on the West Coast. What's been an eye opener, which I talked about a couple of months ago with LP and BP, and the other day I'm watching my only day off, watching Notre Dame basketball on CBS, something like that, and they had a commercial about Haiti, about 500 students went down there to do humanitarian work. So with that said, don't forget about Little Paul and Big Paul. Now Little Paul and Big Paul, they've separated. You're going to hear a little bit about BP and what he's going with Ecuador and so on and so forth. There's LP. LP is still very entrenched down in Haiti, and I haven't talked to him, and I will definitely apologize on the air about that. I haven't talked to him in the last 3 weeks. I've been down here, and I've had some situations in the metro area, the New York City area. And he's been roaming around doing some of the things that he needs to do to make sure the guys are safe. But I saw this commercial, and you figure after a year and 3 months, it would go away. And it's not, because it's so close. Just like the Haitian people back in 1979, the Cubans, taking the boats over, New Zealand. With their earthquakes and their flooding in Australia, the whole thing. We have Geesley, we had an interview a couple of months ago, and he's the director of a world organization of emergency management people. It's mind-boggling. Again, I'm down here in Tennessee. I'm doing my schooling. It's down here with the tornado and the earthquake in Tennessee. And we're with a national company that handles disasters and, huge stuff, attached to municipalities statewide and major insurance carriers and so on and so forth. And it started to dawn on me that, there's a reason why they got these contingency plans. And it goes back to Felix Nader. You guys, we had some stuff in the comments and questions page about, violence and incident reporting and so on and so forth. It really is. I mean, it's the same freaking thing. I'm talking to this guy the other day at my academy. I mean, this guy's a super bigwig. And he says, I've heard about your show. He Googled the name, and it came up, and so on and so forth. He's like, I didn't think about this. He's like, not only did I think about it, because this guy works for the local, the county, and the counties in the southern states of the United States, they're huge. They cover a vast amounts of property, up there in Jersey, New York, and the lower part of New York, and Long Island, and Pennsylvania. They're so condensed. There's so many people. So he's like, I didn't even think about that, you know, workplace violence and incidents. And I said to the guy, I said, you know what, the show was really not about going postal, and we discussed that. So I said, the show's not about, you know, that kind of thing. And he's like, I listened to it, and it was, you know, it was something I didn't think about. I had a couple of guys down here from Canada. You know, there's a big emergency contingency planning going on. These guys are on top of their game. There's half a dozen guys from Canada. These guys have seen some serious emergencies. And besides the cold, but what I found amazing was that the temperature actually gets really warm up there. From warm to cold and cold to warm, that's energy produced. These guys were talking about wasn't about the snow. Americans think about snow and the, you know, coldness up there. It's about the melting factor. They have a major, major melting factor up there. So I found that really interesting. And it comes down to the lower 48 with the five Great Lakes and the Buffalo area and in New England and Minnesota, and then it rolls over to the other mid upper states. I'm a very fortunate individual, and you people know that I've told you many a times that the weather in our hemisphere is mind-boggling, and it's changing. And so that's why I think the show is really but it is a public service. But it is a little bit difficult because I see all these things happening. I mean, I got Haiti, I got Pakistan, I get the floods and the earthquakes in New Zealand and Australia. We're no different. I mean, you look at the globe, it's a little marble. So with that said, I'm always thinking about how I can prepare for you guys and for me. And again, you know what? You guys call me. You can, you know, email the cppems.com. There's also the website, for the radio show, drhradio.net. You know what? Throw something out there. And on top of it, I got a guy from California, got a guy in Canada, got a guy in Texas. I mean, if you guys are hearing about this, and we are moving into a more broader range of, you know, going to the website and give out a question and listen to the program. It's a great one today.
You're listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, on AM 970, The Apple. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration will find the visible and hidden damage caused by fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Call 201-483-8953, 201-483-8953. In New York, 212-920-9789, 212-920-9789. Online at cppems.com. Again, call 201-483-8953 or 212-920-9789. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, serving the New York Metro and Tri-State area. And now back to the Disaster Recovery Hour on AM 970, The Apple. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Disaster Recovery Hour. We're back from a station break. With the disaster preparedness and the numerous guests I've had on the shows, it's and then the moving to the new time, it's really a tribute to the people that have been through the social media and the question and comments page and the emails and all that type of connectivity, I guess, right? Connectivity between you guys and the show. It's got a lot of traction with all the different types of guests and how we've tied in a lot of things with the vast amounts of disaster that we've experienced, whether it's international, it's domestic, it's health, it's workplace. There's a lot of stuff to be covered. We're also going to be moving forward with a new associate regarding corrections and law enforcement and fallen heroes. And so with that said, I do have a guest in the studio today. He's been around the country flying about doing some media, doing some fundraising. Everybody knows him. Paul Sebring from MMRC. Hey, how you doing? I'm glad you're back.
No, I'm glad to be back. It's been quite a ride over the last year. You know, for the listeners that have been following us, we had MMRC, which is, like you said, Materials Management Relief Corps. It was a group that was formed out in Haiti. Had a chance to work with an incredible person named Little Paul, for the new listeners. He and I worked together for about the last 11 months in Haiti. And, you know, it was a crisis situation down there. We got a lot of stuff done, helped and saved a lot of lives. And, you know, if you want to follow up on what Chris reported earlier, you know, LP was locked up in a Haitian prison on allegedly kidnapping a dead child and turning him into a zombie.
That was a good one.
Yeah, so that was a lot of fun. And, you know, the time's come. We had to take a break from Haiti. And, you know, the disaster, the crisis mode was over. And, you know, Little Paul is, you know, convinced, you know, he's his heart is in Haiti. We do the humanitarian work. We follow our hearts. And, you know, right now we decided that, you know, just want to take a break from working from each other, and he's going to head back to Haiti, and I'm headed out to South America.
Yeah, so you had Pakistan with their floods. You got Australia. Now you have South America getting got crushed, and now they're in crisis mode, as you just said. I know MMRC is going global, you know, international. You're already very international, but we're talking about covering vast parts of this planet, as I always say. Planet is the world is flat. Things become a lot quicker with communication and transport. So talk to me about the future down in South America.
Well, what we're looking for in South America is we have been following the flooding that's been happening in Brazil. It's in about, from what I'm understanding, it's about an hour north from the state of Rio de Janeiro. And the biggest concern right now is waterborne illnesses. One of the groups we worked with in Haiti was PAHO, the Pan American Health Organization. And we worked closely with them concerning cholera. And right now what we're doing is we're going to work with them again in Brazil once we figure out what's going on with this, the waterborne illnesses, to see what kind of a threat it is, and set up ourselves as an emergency response team for them.
Right. Now, are you bringing, you know, same old suspects with you? You're going to bring those, you got new faces, you got the same faces from Haiti, or, now, if I remember correctly, through the other interviews, and you and I, be obviously, and LP, the numerous times we spent together, you know, one of the things that you talked about was not taking a break, and it's kind of an unwritten rule that when you do humanitarian aid work, you know, every month and a half, closer to 2 months, you know, you take a break, because it's the constant drain. You know, not to say that or besmirch the victims, because they don't have an opportunity to take a break. But what good is the healer or the aid worker who's at its wit's end, he or she's wit's end, and they're no longer good. They're no longer a viable asset to help the injured or the dying or the sick. Is this the group, the band of brothers and sisters that you're with, is partially from the Haiti, or we're bringing on some new folks?
Well, we're doing a little bit of both. I'm going to say majority of it is the group that was down in Haiti with us. We're going to have a few nurses and a couple of docs with us down there. And we have a couple of new additions from the States that have never, you know, haven't worked with us doing humanitarian work. But we want to set up, we're looking also into Colombia to set up on the helping them with a lot of their medical infrastructure, in addition to helping out with Brazil. We want to have a strong presence in South America to start. And, you know, by having the teams coming down and helping out, it will take some of the stresses off of having to be there 24/7. When I was down in Haiti, I was down in January, left at the end of February, came back in March, and I didn't have, I took 3 days off between beginning of March and September.
Yeah. It's and you get burned, you get toasted.
Yeah, you do. I mean, I learned a lot from that. I learned that, you know, to be in a country sick for 6 months, it's in complete crisis mode, and just, you know, getting, you know, every day is an emergency pretty much. You know, you get to a point where you get burnt out, you get jaded, and I don't want that to happen. Yeah. And I won't let that happen to anyone else. So we've got long term commitment nurses coming down that, you know, every 4 to 5 weeks, there'll be a mandatory 4 to 5 days off.
Right. It was, you know, when the towers went down, and I was down there the week after, was my first day in, and you know, they had the Red Cross tents, and you had the FEMA the FEMA mobiles, and blah 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 blah. And one of the things that I mean, it's different because our heroes and our fallen heroes, those guys were doing, you know, 20-hour shifts and going over to St. Paul's, getting something to eat and changing out their boots because some, you know, with the you know, the hot steel, their PPE was just, it was melting on their feet. So, but these guys didn't go home for, you know, weeks on end. They'd sleep at they sleep at Trinity, they sleep at St. Paul's, you know, they had a constant flow of fresh guys who they were able to rotate. And I just remember because I got a buddy of mine who's who's on one of the fireboats out there in Brooklyn, and talking to me about some of that stuff and getting just burnt out now because you know you no longer become helpful. You know, you become a liability almost. So that's on the humanitarian side because you don't have any personal feelings. You know, you're there to do a job, but you obviously your humanitarians is a bit above that. You're not callous to the situation, correct? You're blood and sweat, but there's also you have tears.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thing is, this is true. Is, you know, anyone that works in a disaster zone is you do have to do triage every situation that you're in. You know, and the same thing with us going into Colombia and into Brazil, South America in general. It's, you know, we're going to have to make tough decisions and take a look at things. Haiti was an excellent training ground for that, especially recently with cholera.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We'd have to take a look at patients and say, you know, I have enough resources and time to save two of the three of you. And unfortunately, you have to pick which two of the three they are. And yeah. It's a crap hand you're dealt, but you have to do the best you can and save as many as you can. And we know with South America, you know, when we get there, more than likely, we're going to start off in Colombia and find a hospital that we can base our operation out of and sleep on the roof of the hospital in tents while we do our assessment of the country.
Yeah. If you just joined us, it's Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. Lots of traction. 11 o'clock through 12 on Sundays now, not Saturday, between 7 and 8. Paul, so it looks like South America is the next ground zero for you. We got the same vitals, we got all the same stuff as we contact. If anything's changed, let's make sure the listeners know about it.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, the website is www.mmrcglobal.org. You can follow us on there. The plan is, you know, we started off in Haiti. We learned a lot from our experiences there. Now we want to take that out to South America and see what kind of good we can do. So once we get out there, goal is to be out there by the end of February, first week of March at the absolute latest, be establishing. We'll be doing blog entries, video, photos, and really documenting everything we're doing on the website, which again is mmrcglobal.org.
That's cool. You know, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, we're always constantly you know, talk about the contact information because there's so many ways to contact nowadays. But I was talking with a mutual friend of ours from the State Department and who was dealing with a lot of NGOs in Southeast Asia and in the northern part of Asia about the common theme is logistics with supplies. And that's what that's, I shouldn't say a niche, but that's something that a lot of NGOs, which you found out down in Haiti, the hard way, they found out the hard way that, you know, yeah, you can get stuff there, but how do you disperse it? How do you assemble it? How do you, you know, a doctor can go in and operate on somebody, can't go in there with a Band-Aid and some chewing gum.
Yeah, and that's where we come in with MMRC is we all have a medical background. We all understand a lot of the equipment and the supplies. And what we do is we basically liaison between the larger NGOs and we find out who has what. We distribute it for them and we make sure everyone has what they need. And the end game of that is that everybody has everything and the tools they need to help save lives.
You know, if you don't quite understand that, here's a real simple thing. Do you know if the manufacturers of car manufacturers, they don't make the brakes. They get some of the guy and some of the factory who makes the brakes, ships them over to the assembly plant, and it gets put in there. That's exactly what MMRC is about. They're getting the product, they're getting the supplies, they're getting them to the docs, the nurses. Boom, they make it happen. So that's the bottom line.
Basically, it's about making sure that we get the right supplies to the people that need it and that can use it efficiently to save lives.
Hence, medical background, knowing what to give. You don't want to give them a wrench. You want to give them a syringe.
Yes. Chris, I really appreciate you having me in the studio today. I've got to actually take off and definitely want to meet up with you next time in the city. Want to thank all the listeners that are following the show and, you know, thank everyone that's supporting us.
excellent, you know, especially on Facebook and Twitter. Go to Station Break, and Paulie, we'll see you soon. Take care.
Take care, my man.
You're listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, on AM 970, The Apple. And now back to the Disaster Recovery Hour on AM 970, The Apple. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Welcome back to Disaster Recovery Hour. Every Sunday between 11 and 12, I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. I have with me today Bart Terulli. Everybody knows who Bart is. He's been on the show a couple of times. Bart works for Ameriprise Financial. He's a financial planner. And for me, and how Bart is applicable to our program is really about offsetting those disasters financially when, you know, houses or getting hurt at the job happens. And if you are financially set or prepared for this disaster that happened today, and looking and moving forward to the future. Bart, the last show we talked about on, let's call it what it was, everybody's going to die, and what do you have in plan? What do you have in play for when that happens? Why don't we just recap it real quick before we shoot into the new segment for today?
Okay, that's fine. Yeah.
By the way, hey, Bart, how you doing?
Okay. Thank you for that segue. I'm fine. Thank you. Yeah, let's just continue from the last segment, and we were speaking about the reality that we're all going to die. So I want to just touch on a couple of different points with regards to the specifics of insurance, and it really is a subject that is inexhaustible. But my purpose during this show to briefly touch on a mere fraction. For the first show, I want to continue detailing some concerns or facts. Now, I'll start this session with a strong encouragement that I ended the last segment with, and that's the following. Assess your insurance needs. Find out what you currently have in force or don't, and see if there's a need for insurance. If there is, apply as soon as possible. Because once a policy is owned by you, you are in complete control. If you spend more time, you know, planning a trip to Disney World than planning and reviewing your needs of finances or family protection, you and your loved ones may be severely at risk.
Yeah, that's true, because we just started discussing that this week with my wife and my kids. Disneyland. But
nothing wrong with that, but, you know, at least give people time for your finances to figure out how you pay for it and later on how you go forward.
Yeah, right.
Let me just bring up something, once again, the subject of insurance, it just is without end. So let me just bring up something of importance. Life insurance and terminal illness. The reality is, as I said the last show, we're all going to die. What remains unknown really is the time, the location, and the manner. But the reality is, if a person is terminally ill, your life insurance policy can really be a valuable resource. Not only can you use it to provide the adequate income to you and survivors for both short, long-term needs, you'd be able to receive a portion, just a portion of the death proceeds from your policy before you die. So what does that mean? Well, it means you can tap into, you know, income that is already there. You don't have to wait till you die. Now, on this subject, the Ameriprise has a particular product, only because it's a perfect fit for this subject, that has, of course, a death benefit, and you have the option of taking 90% of that death benefit and apply it to long-term care needs if qualified. So this important fact to look at. And it's important when you have that particular insurance that you have one rider that says guaranteed insurability rider. So if you're terminally ill, you know, you pose an obvious risk to the insurance company and probably won't be able to buy additional life insurance. However, if you purchase a guaranteed insurability rider, you'll be able to get additional insurance without providing proof of any kind of medical insurability. So very important to know. Very important to know your policies, what they do, what they can't do, if you're underinsured, if you're overinsured, or you should be insured. So just wanted to bring that into a bit of clarity so we can just go forward with anything else you'd like to chat about.
And we all read the papers, listen to the news. You know, in the last couple of weeks between, we have a police officer getting shot 5 times here in Jersey. You got the Long Island officer getting crushed by that flatbed truck. Again, not going home. The Lakewood or Ocean Gate officer. And also, you know, and a couple of firemen this past week got injured out in, I think it was in the Bronx. It comes on, I'm seeing all that, and then what happened this past week, a buddy of mine, he's a civil servant, had a job, hopefully he'll be going back to work, but he got injured on the job, and it was actually very lucky that there was an EMT crew close by and really saved his life. And I was thinking about that because I did a taping this past week with Daniel Delveve, who is the New Jersey Corrections Now. He's an editor of the magazine. One of the driving behind the magazine is a portion of the proceeds for advertising and such go to the wars, widows and orphans, if you will, of these fallen heroes. But you know, there's also the roadworks, the turnpike, the subway guys, you know, the MTA guys, and you know, these guys get hurt on the job and die every day also. And you know, having this conversation with my buddy, I don't know if a lot of guys are thinking, I know some of these guys listen to the show. We've had some comments from some of the guys who work in the tunnels. And, you know, I got a cousin, he's a supervisor, for the New Jersey subway system. And, you know, these guys need to be financially prepared because, you know, these guys are just at risk for going to work one day and not coming home.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, again, this format only allows me to highlight some important areas of disability and who should consider it. For example, if you're working for a company, what kind of coverage do you have? Normally, it's short-term disability. Well, if you have something that requires long-term, where's the money coming from? How are you getting paid? No employer is paying you not to be around. So how much is there? How much money do you need? You have to know what you have on the job, so to speak. And really, this is important for people, like I said, to assess what they have. If you are disabled, and remember, disabilities don't only come from an accident, they come from an illness as well.
Right.
So evidence these people who were down at September 11th and they inhaled all these particles, you know, they got ill.
Right.
And became disabled. Where's their, where was their rescue? So you have to look and see what the heck you can do. What do you do? Your expenses aren't going to change much. Medical expenses are going to rise if you have a disability. You're forced to quit your job. Your group medical coverage may be terminated. What do you do? Overnight, you're there for a period of time. Living expenses are the same. What do you do? Find out what you have. And what people also don't know, for example, if you have disability on your job with your company, that's normally paid with pre-tax dollars. So if you have a disability policy and, you know, you have to collect, that's taxable.
Right.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
As opposed to you having an individual policy, which may supplement or not, if you pay for yourself, all the proceeds you're getting, you know, money's the real tax rate.
Yeah,
tremendous difference.
I mean, because you're also doing with the states, that disability, you'll get a check from there. But, you know, some of the products that you discuss and you can discuss, there's a guy last year, he was collecting garbage and the garbage truck rolled right over him. He was done. You know, guy was like 40 years old, three kids. And I don't think that part is that segment of the workforce is getting enough education to. That's just my opinion of what could happen, you know, and that's why I thought this would be a great topic to, you know, it's a disaster waiting to happen because you know what? Then they're out of their homes. There's a foreclosure or they can't pay their bills. And that just gets a never ending cycle, you know?
Yeah. It's like anything else. You have to do your own personal due diligence in your own financial world. And this is part of it. You know, if you're willing to, have a house that's not covered by insurance or an automobile or anything else, well, you know, you take the tremendous risks that go along with it. And people's lives and lifestyles have been compromised by not knowing what's available. Education. Remember, you know, this is one topic, but I go from the alpha to the omega. This is a portion of it that people should at least know about, and they don't. Now they think, well, Social Security, a disability. Do you have any idea how difficult it is to get Social Security disability? It's very, very, very rigid. I think 3% of those people who believe they applied for it can get Social Security disability.
Wow, that's a scary number.
That's a fact.
Wow.
But you deal with facts. Those are simply the facts. And also, you know, with any of these, you know, disabilities, whether it's private, you don't get 100% of what you're earning. The formulas for the private industry are about 60, maybe 70% of what you were earning, and depending for how long your policy is. Now, the reason for that is, if you're getting 100%, what would be one's incentive to go back to work?
Yeah, you think about the blue-collar guys I was just referring to, and then the other civil servants of the police and the fire department. You know, in the years gone by, you know, your grandfather, and if you're older than I am, maybe if you're in your 50s and 60s, your dad was able to have that job at the factory as a blue-collar guy for 40 or 50 years, you know what, and retired pretty much comfortably. But that doesn't exist anymore. So I want to talk about that, but you know what, I don't know how this is a disaster, but it's not insurance related, but I think it's a good little topic to touch on. We're going to go to a break. I'm talking today with Bart Terulli. You know Bart, he's from Ameriprise Financial, and what Bart tries to do for our listeners and you guys out there is try to hedge off any disasters that might happen in your world that is not property related, but financially, and which in turn would come full circle where you can't pay your bills and you can't live in your home anymore. So again, it's the Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett, every Sunday at 11, between 11 and 12. Bart, we'll do a break, pay a couple bills, as we say, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, on AM 970, The Apple.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
And now back to the Disaster Recovery Hour on AM 970, The Apple. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Hey, welcome back. It's Chris Plunkett, Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host every Sunday between 11 and 12. Everybody, if you just tuned in, I'm talking with Bart Terulli. Everybody knows who Bart is. You can go to my comments and question page and throw him at some questions, or you have any questions for him on the financial disaster preparedness. Bart, before we went to break, we were talking about the disability, and I was talking about my buddy. I know he's got his finances in order, and there's still some hurdles to be done. I don't need to go into depth about it, but a lot of the guys, they're not making big wood. They're making $55,000, $60,000 a year. And they say, I can't finance. I can't be looking at the stocks and things like that. And, you know, I'm not the Bernie Madoff clientele, which is kind of funny. I should even think about it, because Bernie had all this high end money with his other clients, but his clients lost money. So then they have to close their businesses, which lays off the common guy, which is the $50,000 to $60,000 a year guy. He doesn't have a job. So it's all kind of cyclical, or not cyclical, but it all kind of ties in. But the disability end of it, you know, some of these blue collar guys, even if they're in a union, that money's only going to be paying or going so far, right?
Absolutely. And again, you know, the reality with disability and coverage is you really have just two ways to go with this. And you have the private disability, which you can purchase and find out how that fits into what you need. What are your costs every month? You know, what's going to fill in for the fact that you're no longer, a breadwinner? You have children, and if both of you are not working, you know, can you afford, if your spouse becomes disabled, the partner might be able to care for the kids at home. Or if you stay home, you know, you're forced to work if your spouse. It just is a vicious cycle. and you have to know what's available to you. So what's available? You can get private disability to supplement what you have or completely overshadow, or you can apply for, you know, the various federal programs. But Social Security pays based upon, and people don't know this, the amount of credits. So when you work for Social Security, you pay your taxes, you earn credits that enable you to qualify for Social Security benefits. So you can earn up to 4 credits per year, and that depends on the amount of income you have. So the number of credits that you need depends on how old you are and when you become disabled. For example, if you're 31 to 42, you need to have earned at least 20 credits within the last 10 years, ending in the year in which you become disabled.
Wow.
If you're younger than that, you'll need fewer. If you're older, you'll need more. So everything is based upon a formula. But you have to look and take a look and say, hey, what the heck goes on here? You know, how hard is it to get, and am I going to get what I need? So there's another alternative, is to look into the private and see what you can afford, what you're getting, and bear in mind, you know, when any of these disability benefits are paid out, when you pay for the insurance, they come tax-free, which is a tremendous difference than getting, you know, $4,000 per month taxable. You may come back with $2,700 or $2,800 or $4,000 private, which is all your money for a specified, you know, specified period of time.
Right. You know, a couple of years ago, about 5 or 6 years ago, in my industry, the emergency service property restoration part of the business, we had a real bad windstorm, and we were on the job, and I had left, about an hour earlier when the guys were unloading all this equipment because the tree had gone through the person's house, and the windstorm is still happening, so on and so forth, and a tree broke. Came crashing down on one of the workers, one of the kids. Was a nice kid. He was a young kid, unfortunately, went into a coma and eventually died. You know, only 22 years old. But you know what? Our industry is pretty active, and it's pretty dangerous on occasions. You know, going to some burnt out buildings and floorboards give out. You know, people fall from one floor to the other. You know what? You don't think about it. So that rainy day effect, I think, you know, some of the things that you talked about and what we still are going to talk about is even for the little guy could just squirrel away a couple of bucks, right?
Absolutely. My cousin happened to have been in school up in New England, working the second floor on his computer. Before you know it, he was on the first floor. The building exploded. It was a gas leak.
Oh, man.
So he managed to crawl out prior to the whole building being up. But had he sustained any kinds of, you know, damage or been unable to work, what do you do at that age?
Yeah, you know, it's okay. So he's in a school, so he figures, okay, I'll go to work. I'm part of a union, or maybe not. Mm-hmm. But I got good benefits through the system, and yada 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 yada. But it's almost
again, you have to know what your benefits are. You know, if it's long term coverage. You know, and there's short term. You have to take a look at what they are. That too many people don't realize that just because it's there, it doesn't mean it's there forever.
Right.
You have to understand it. And not having the knowledge, you know, is really a compromising and a potentially disastrous situation.
Right. Well, you know, it's similar to, okay, you have a storm. We have some storms going on this past winter. We're in a little of we've gone through a couple of weeks with no snow, which is good for some people and not good for others. Some people like the snow, but it goes to, you know, the premise of the show is about property and being prepared, but the preparedness is in so many areas nowadays, hence what we're talking with you today. But think about, okay, you don't, you know, just because you're in this union and your cousin got hurt, does he have the other resources to, you know, fill the gap after they go, or it's not implemented yet, it's not in place yet to receive those monies? It's just like your house. Do you have a generator in case, you know, the whole entire neighborhood goes out? You know,
correct.
Captain Dan will show up with the fire department and safe off your house, but you know, he's got to leave. So, you know, being prepared along those lines until the cavalry shows up, you know?
And it goes back to, you know, what we said from the initial shows, that you have to understand what you have. You have to be prepared to, you know, be able to weather a storm, no pun intended. And do you have the resources to carry on? You know, plain and simple. There's no way getting around that. You have to look and see what you have. And if you're covered, plain and simple. Now, you know, with disability, a lot of these disabilities occur not on the job, but they occur in the house. Simple little things. But if you can't do the job that you're skilled to do, what do you do?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you do? You know, some of these are own occupations, some are different. But you have to know, because you can't get, you know, the barn being closed after the horse is out doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, right. Well, again, you know, about preparedness, whether it's financial, whether it's property, whether it's even the health, with Dr. Archie Roberts a couple of months ago, and he was down in the Super Bowl having a good time with the Living Heart Foundation, their mobile that they you walk up there and they do some blood tests and so on and so forth. But again, it's that whole preparedness thing. Bart, before we close out the show, just a quick, what's your opinion? In the greatest generation, as they say, simpler times, they went to work, they came home, they were able to save. Do you think our society needs to be more financially prepared? Because, you know, we have so many other intangibles that affect our lives now. I mean, everybody, the world is really kind of almost one economy. So, you know, you just don't go down the street to Joe's bread store and get your bread. You know, that bread has to come in from somewhere else. So if the roads, you know what I'm saying? What do you think?
It's gone the way of the nickel subway ride. You know, at that time when you went to college, you went to a city college. You didn't pay $30,000 or $40,000 for a college. The kids didn't always have cars. They didn't go to Europe. They didn't have computers. They had a stick ball and a Spalding.
Right.
You know, the reality is you have to go along with the times. Here are facts. You know, you can wax sentimental about the past, and that's lovely. It doesn't take care of the realities of today. So you have to look, what do you have? What's your contingency plan? Whenever I go anywhere, what's the first thing I look for? An exit sign.
Right.
I want to know how I can get out of some place. Mob mentality. Anything else can happen. I always look for an out. Same thing with your financial world or any other world. Find out what the options are.
Right, right. Bart, it's always a pleasure having you on. Let's get your contact information. Even though the banner's up, I'm stumbling here. Your banner's up on the website, the drhradio.net website. Bart, what's the contact info, bro?
Yes, and apart from, you know, locating me or contacting me there, you can always give me a call at my office. My office is located in Bayside, New York. It's 3808 Bell Boulevard in Bayside, New York. Very geographically located for all the boroughs as well as states, like Connecticut and New Jersey. And my phone number here is 718-229-9240. And I'm always willing to take the time to speak to anybody about any issues they have with regards to their personal finances or protection.
That's great. Thanks, Bart. I know Bart's you've had some questions on the comments page, so I'm sure you'll have a few more. And also, one of my guests that I taped, like I said, I taped, and he's going to be showing up in a couple of weeks from now. You guys met, and hopefully you'll get some good traction out of that. He's got a good need for someone with your expertise, and like I said, it's always a pleasure, and I'll talk to you in about a month. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chris. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett from CPP Emergency Services and Restoration. You can reach Chris by calling 201-483-8953. In New York, 212-920-9789. And don't forget to tune in every Sunday morning at 11 for the Disaster Recovery Hour right here on AM 970, The Apple.